So come all who want to roam to Kansas. Come all who want to roam to Kansas. Come all who want to roam and seek a prairie home, but be happy with your doom in Kansas.
Christine Reitner is driving me to the middle of America. We're on a one-mile stretch of blacktop that dead-ends at the exact center of the 48 states. There's a picnic shelter here, the long-abandoned U.S. Center restaurant and motel, and a tiny four-seat chapel.
I don't know. You know what? If they get the flies out of here, I get the flies out of here. My husband and I are going to have our 25th wedding anniversary on New Year's Eve of 2000.
Right here?
I don't know. What I'd like to do is get remarried right here. I think this would be neat. I think it would be classic.
The U.S. flag flies high above a native limestone marker, displaying complicated mathematical computations that prove, for the occasional tourist, that this is the spot.
People do drive up here to see the center of the United States, but I'm not happy with what they're seeing. My husband says this country belongs to everybody. In fact, he quoted John F. Kennedy this morning, and one of his statements was, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And I think he probably saw a problem at that point in time, and nobody listened.
Christine shades her eyes and looks south across a field of Milo to her hometown 2 miles away. From up here at the U.S. Center Park, Lebanon, Kansas looks no different than it did 50 years ago. Its water tower and grain elevator stand tall and promising. Lebanon's Main Street is fairly busy on weekdays. People go to the bank, buy food at the two-aisle grocery, and pick up their mail. But Christine remembers how it used to be.
I remember going in there, they had the old-fashioned soda fountain, the cherry Cokes, the lemon Cokes, the lime Cokes, all kinds of flavors, and ice cream, marble counter. The floors were all, you know, like inch-square marble tile. Beautiful place in there, always real well-kept and everything. And then next to it used to be a friend of mine, Cameron.
About 350 people live in Lebanon, most in their 70s and 80s. They, like Christine, remember when Main Street had 35 businesses. Today, there are five.
There used to be a pool hall. There were buildings all the way in where those vacant lots are. It was just, you know, like I say, a wonderful community. There used to be people that would sit on the street.
Christine Reitner left Lebanon 35 years ago. She was 15. Now, almost 50, she's come back with her husband and an ambitious plan for Lebanon's future, a plan they call The Project.
That was a great big three-story house.
This is a computer laser tooling for the MD-90. My project on that was the wings and the empennon.
In 2 hours, Jim Reitner has smoked nearly half a pack of cigarettes. His dark eyes are sunken, his face jaundiced and puffy. In 1994, Jim was told he has heart and lung disease, and he's not a good candidate for a transplant because of severe diabetes.
From this point to this point, you figure out trigonometrically.
Jim Reitner helped design these planes he's showing me. He was an engineer and associate vice president with McDonnell Douglas in California. He says he managed multi-billion dollar projects with staffs of thousands. Today, retired from aerospace, he sits with Christine in the dining room of their white two-story house on Pine Street in Lebanon, a town he first saw in 1976.
And Lebanon then, there wasn't that many businesses open, but the town wasn't as depressed as it is now. So at that point in time, I really didn't, when I compare Kansas to California, it's like apples and oranges. I had no intention of ever coming back here.
In 1998, Jim and Christine did come back, for good.
We gave up a two-bedroom, custom-built house with a family room, over 3,000 square feet, acre and a half, completely landscaped, pool, guest house in the back, completely refurbished, and I collect classic cars. Those, we left everything there, put it in storage.
What they moved to was a town with several falling down houses, many unpaved streets, and a downtown with empty storefronts. The owner of one group of buildings wanted to sell.
And he's telling me $2,500 for the three buildings, which is incredible prices coming from an area where that's not even a down payment on a car. And then as things started progressing, I started looking into more property, and I just started to buy. And we decided we're going to put the town together, rebuild this country back like it belongs.
What Jim Reitner means by this country is right here, the center. For him, the most important place in the United States.
You come back here, you're more or less into your American spirit, you might say. And then you walk into this. This is the center of the United States. And you're looking at it worse than a slum area. It's just like you're sitting here watching part of your history, the world, and the country you put your life into just going away. Because from the time I graduated from high school, and all through this college and everything else that was paid for by the aerospace company, everything was done through the government. They've sent me all over the world, all over the country, and then you come to the center of the country and it's depressed. The people in here's attitude was, let the town die with them.
Jim and Christine Reitner now own several houses and a third of the downtown, which amounts to five buildings. They have a vision. Restaurants, coffee shops, hardware and clothing stores, a pharmacy, a butcher shop, even a carousel in the town park. Much of it will be paid for, Jim says, by his monthly pension and savings.
In 5 years, you're looking at a cross between something out of Main Street Disneyland and going back to, I'm trying to can't remember the name of the movie that I was thinking of with Donna Reed, but...
It's a Wonderful Life?
A Wonderful Life type conception. The community is already here. It's just a matter of bringing it into focus.
If Jim and Christine have their way, the population of Lebanon will grow to 1,000, an increase of about 200%. Jim says these new people will be from California, friends of the Reitners and former co-workers, and they'll bring their friends and family. They'll be integrated, Jim says, with those who have lived in Lebanon all along. Lebanon's city office is a one-room prefab metal building on Main Street, across from the gun repair shop. The mayor is 34 years old. His name is Terry Jennings.
I don't see the town growing. I've talked to Christine, I've talked to her husband, and they've got some wonderful ideas. I hope it can happen, but we lack so many things to draw population, to draw people to live here. We don't have a great highway system. We're not on an interstate system. We don't have a great railroad. We don't have a huge airport. And them are all things that you need to grow.
Terry Jennings is a farmer. He's married, has two kids, and says if he had to do it all again, he'd probably be a paramedic. Terry works as a volunteer first responder and was among those who handled an emergency at the Reitner house a few weeks ago when Jim was having trouble breathing.
I felt for the man. I mean, that is so hard when you have pain and you can't see where your pain is. I mean, if it's internal pain, like a lung bothering you or a heart, that would scare you so bad. I feel sorry for the man.
Terry says he's not sure the town fully comprehends how sick Jim Reitner is. Folks don't talk about it much, he says. What he does hear, as mayor, are complaints, often about the Reitner's project.
Christine came to a meeting, and I want to praise her for this. She comes to our meetings, and she gives her input. Very few people in town will do that. And she comes to our meetings, and she says, now, hey, we need to clean up a few lots in town. And we said, okay. Trying to get the town involved, we said, you drive around town, and you make a list of what you think are lots or properties that need cleaned up. And the word got out that she was doing that, and when she came to the meeting, we had a house full. I mean, our office is not very big, and everybody was mad because they thought she was picking on them. But enough of the word had got out on what they were doing and that there was possibly going to be what a quote-unquote land rush. A lot of these people thought that the reason they made the list up was they wanted to buy the property cheap.
Most of their point is personal greed and selfishness, and they... At the point you're looking at now, taxes are low. They're afraid their taxes are going to go up. They're afraid that they're not going to be important. I have an old saying, which I've always had at work, and people that's worked for me all understand, is whether they like it or they don't like it, learn to love it because it's going to happen.
But the people don't think it will happen, says Terry Jennings. The biggest strike against the Reitners is that one of the buildings on Main Street, the one that everybody said Jim and Christine promised would be a restaurant by now, is still empty.
A person's word means a lot here. And if they don't follow through, why, it leaves a sour taste in some people's mouths.
Christine Reitner is showing me one of the buildings they own in Lebanon. This was an old clothing store.
Now, he collected a lot of taxidermy items. He had moose heads hanging in here. He had, all kinds of stuffed creatures, and it was almost eerie. And he had a big pendulum clock, and when you walked in here, it was just click, clock, click.
This is where Jim and Christine planned to put the restaurant. Then they realized there was too much damage to the roof. Well, this all looks a little overwhelming.
It is, sometimes. But you can't look at it as a huge picture. You have to take one day at a time. And you have to take one step at a time. I sometimes get overwhelmed, and I look, and it's decay, and I'm like, I can't do all this. But then when I take and I break it up into 1 foot at a time, then I have a better grip.
And you say that the people are skeptical. They see these buildings and the condition that they're in, and obviously they don't have the resources to fix these things up. How do you answer to all that skepticism here in town?
Take my husband's saying, time tells all secrets. Watch and see.
The people of Lebanon are watching. They see Christine and her children cleaning out and painting buildings, Jim sitting in his truck, supervising when he's able. The town remembers when those buildings were home to businesses owned by longtime Lebanites. Every truck of trash hauled away and every new coat of paint reminds them of how Lebanon used to be.
I can remember this town used to have at least seven grocery stores.
I can remember when there were 5 grocery stores here.
There were benches up and down the streets, and everybody came to town on Saturday nights.
And there'd be so many people in the town, you could hardly get through the crowd to get up and down the street.
Everything was hustling.
There was a lodge, there was a mill, and there was a furniture store. And
the business buildings were all full. And
they did have a moving picture show.
It was a good little place to live for people who like to live a simple life.
At church one Sunday, an elderly woman tells me Lebanon was once called the Pearl of the Plains. It's a common belief here that any chance Lebanon had of reclaiming that title was lost when the schools closed in the 1980s. The shrinking population meant less property taxes, and the schools couldn't afford to operate. Now, this town, named after the biblical cedars of Lebanon, focuses most of its attention on its 2 Protestant churches, which are full on most Sundays. Like those who founded Lebanon in 1870, Jim and Christine Reitner are motivated by a hope that this town will grow and prosper. Their vision of what might be convinced Christine's mother to move to Lebanon, as well as Jim and Christine's daughter and youngest son and their spouses and children. In all, 11 members of the Reitner family now call Lebanon home.
1884. That's from, see the old ink writing and everything.
Christian Reitner is 20 years old. His wife, Crystal, is 15. They found this old letter in the wall of their house, which Jim and Christine bought for $4,000.
So we're not real sure when it was built. We're figuring around 1860, around in that area.
Christian Reitner says when his dad first got sick, his mom wanted to move the family to Lebanon. Jim refused. To get him here, there had to be something for him to do. There had to be a job. That, says Christian, was how the project was born.
I think knowing that he's got something to work with, to think about, to keep his mind off of it, something emphasizing him to, keep going, it makes him happy. It makes him proud. I try to help as much as I can, Because if this project was to end, I don't know what it'd do to him.
Christian dropped out of college to move here. He came because his parents asked him to, and they offered to buy him a house, something he'd never be able to do in California, he says. Christian and his wife don't have much of a social life in Lebanon. Crystal goes to high school but says she doesn't fit in. Their free time is spent remodeling their own house and cleaning out Jim and Christine's buildings on Main Street. It's been a difficult adjustment, made worse, Christian says, by having to watch his father's personality change.
His attitude's bad because he's hurting. He's got to be, at least. He doesn't sleep a lot at night. I don't know if he's afraid of dying or... I know my mom worries about that a lot, him not waking up.
Just two blocks away, in another house paid for by Jim and Christine, is Christian's 23-year-old sister, Tammy. She lives with her second husband, their two sons, and a daughter from her first marriage. Tammy says she's heavily in debt and is grateful to her father, who she says has always taken care of her and is continuing to do so with this project.
He knows he's not going to live forever, and he knows he's very ill now. And with the businesses and seeing this the town done and with businesses open, he will feel a security for himself. When he knows that he's going to go, he's not going to feel like he failed us.
When Lebanon was named the Exact Center in 1941, tourists came from all over the country. They wanted to stand at that spot and know that right then they were at the center of the United States. In 1956, there were enough tourists that Lee Johnson, a young man from North Carolina, moved to Lebanon and opened the U.S. Center Restaurant and Motel, advertising extra-long beds. He did good business for a time, but when the interstate highway went in 60 miles away, there was less traffic on the roads near Lebanon. And 10 years after he came, Lee Johnson abandoned his business at the center and went home.
Lee was a Southern gentleman.
Lavona Stanley is nearing 80 years old. She worked for Lee Johnson at his motel and restaurant in the late 50s. She remembers how the people worried when he arrived in town.
They wanted to know, of course, what he was like, what he was going to be like, what he was going to do out there, what that was going to be like. And I just had absolute faith in Lee. As I said, he was a Southern gentleman.
Lavona says she's behind Jim and Christine, too.
I believe in them. All the way.
Do you think that most of the town is behind her?
No.
Why?
They're just like that.
But as Lavona talks about Lebanon and Jim and Christine's project, how much time and money it'll take to make it work, even the Reitner's biggest supporter starts to doubt.
I don't know. I stand here and I'll watch. And I hope and pray.
Jim and Christine need more than goodwill and prayer. They need people to move to Lebanon. And as they see it, the town's prime selling point is the image conjured by a small town in America's heartland.
Phil Kogan is in a very special place, a uniquely appropriate place for this, our first edition of Fox After Breakfast. Phil?
Good morning to you, Tom.
In 1995, the Fox TV network came to Lebanon, lured by its location as the geographic center of the U.S.
When we come back, we're going to be finding out officially why this is the official center of continental United States. The fact that this is where real Americans are, real people are. We're going to be meeting the mayor and hopefully sharing some of what America is all about here in Lebanon, Kansas.
Francis Ryan was mayor then. He allowed Fox to broadcast from Lebanon. He was convinced it would attract business and tourism. He remembers the town planned a big parade to be televised from a helicopter.
What happened that morning? We had heavy fog. Couldn't hardly see. Well, they couldn't get the helicopter off. But if it would have worked like it was supposed to work, they would have had the parade because the helicopter was going to shoot it and it would have showed everybody, see? We had a lot of people and the people at the time enjoyed it, but then afterwards they said, oh, we didn't need that outfit in here. We don't want a bunch of strangers coming in here and messing up our town.
They're a very well-behaved town, aren't they?
You want some activity?
Yeah, just have them swap sides of the street.
Good idea.
Yeah, just have
All right, everyone.
The big street swap in Lebanon, Kansas, ladies and gentlemen.
Sides of the street. This side, please go to this side, and this side, go to this side.
Go, Lebanon.
The Fox broadcast embarrassed the people of Lebanon. One woman told me she peeled her Lebanon bumper sticker off her car after the show. Francis Ryan contends you couldn't buy the kind of publicity the Fox show gave Lebanon. But it didn't draw anybody new to town. Francis says it shows what Jim and Christine are up against, an entire country that sees nothing worthwhile in Lebanon. And even if new people had come, Francis says, they probably wouldn't have been welcome.
They'll never be accepted. I don't care if you live here or if you're an outsider, you weren't born and raised here. If you come in here and you're here for 30, 40 years, you'll never be accepted. You'll always be an outsider till you die.
7 years ago, when Francis came to town, people were skeptical, he says. But he bought a shop building, fixed it up, did some work, and word got around that he was okay, and he was asked to run for the city council. He says if Jim and Christine want to fit in, they need to show more and talk less.
I've heard so many stories from him. I wish I would have recorded all the stories that he's told that I know about, you know. But some of the people, he even gave them a list of all the stuff he was going to do here in this town. Oh, there was a list. I seen several of them. But I think he dreams. He's like a little kid, you know, that comes up with, of course, I guess you got a dream. If you don't dream, well, you never get nowhere. But anyhow, I don't know.
People say to me that you're just the biggest dreamer they've ever met. You're all talk, no action.
Yes, but I've renovating three buildings, four buildings actually, which are the biggest buildings they have in the town. Plus, I've already renovated three houses, going on two more, and in 50 years, they have yet to renovate the sidewalk.
So you are a dreamer.
I am a realist. They live in fiction.
The number one complaint I've heard must be that you are not social, and that's hurting you as far as people supporting you.
In one sense, this is self-imposed by myself. Not putting anybody in the town down. Their intellectuality in this town is so far below, it would be hard for me to for them to conceive what I'm talking about. At the same time, health problems could prevent me from doing a lot of this.
If you had to pick your number one motivation for what you're doing, what would it be?
Motivation? Basically, I'm motivated by this being center of the country and putting it in for that aspect. Do I care whether these people have a restaurant or not? No, I don't, to be honest with you. Do I care whether these people exist 10 years from now or have a better life? No, I don't really care for that either. Is there one person in this town right now going to be allowed into heaven? If I was God and I looked down and seen the mess they made, I wouldn't let them into heaven. I would have to be honest with you. If they're going to destroy what he gave them, why would you want them up there to destroy more?
I don't know.
If you're going to be hypocritical about everything they do, why would you want them in there?
I don't know.
They are still too far backwards because they are afraid.
Well, isn't there always fear of the unknown? And isn't that what we are, in fact, to them, the unknown?
No.
Well, how do you figure?
We're not the unknown.
How do you figure? They don't know where we're coming from, and they won't know where we're coming from until they see what we're coming from. We could talk till we're blue in the face, and the reality is until they see and they accept, we are going to have difficulty.
I really don't care what they think, and I don't think they really care what I think.
Christine Reitner and I are sitting in front of the old pharmacy on Main Street. Christine stares at the three buildings she and her husband own across the street and sighs.
Do you feel this urgency to get things accomplished quickly?
No, but I think he does. And he pushes real hard, and sometimes I think he realizes he pushes too hard. But I think that he wants to see this is on its way. I think he there's a certain point where he'll have a resolution in his mind that this is on its way. There's no, you know, there will be no turning back. There's no quitting. There's no giving up. I think at that point in time, he'll be satisfied.
Christine says Jim has what he calls a CD, completion date, for the project, which is about 5 years away.
How long do you think he has to live?
Less than 2 years. He may not make it through this week.
So with the completion date 5 years away, and you say maybe Jim has less than two years, do you think that you're going to be able to carry on?
Yes, I know I am.
Why are you so sure of that?
basically, it's what he wants by not completing it would be almost sacrilege to what he started. It's what we both wanted, or we wouldn't have made the sacrifice to come here, and we have made a lot of sacrifices. But it's what we both want.
So in a sense, maybe Jim's passing will drive you on even harder.
Oh, definitely, because there won't be anybody to tell me to stop. In an odd sort of way, he's doing this as a tribute to... now you're going to get me emotional. In my opinion, this is his tribute to me, and this is my tribute back to him.
On her way to the afternoon coffee group, Lavona Stanley walks by, where we're sitting in front of the old pharmacy.
This used to be pretty.
I haven't seen inside that building since I've been here.
Here?
But it was a beauty. I mean, this building was a beauty.
There was a beautiful floor in there.
I don't know whether you can still see it or not, but you can see how it had all of the peach and the blue, and the basis was gray.
Yeah, you can still see
it. Oh, yeah.
Christine and Lavona press their faces against the pharmacy's window.
Over on this side over here, they had this marble top. Well, the whole thing was marble, I think.
They dream themselves into Lebanon's past. And two streets away, Jim Reitner sits at his dining room table, planning its future.
And Dr. Obert was up there at one time, had his doctor's office. I had my tonsils taken out up there.
Up there. Well, they must have done a good job.
Yeah, he took them out.